Cindy wanted me to mention the Young Ladies Bible Studies, the second and fourth Mondays of each month. So if you want to attend that, just look on your calendar. It's always the second and fourth Monday. And up front, we did an overview on end times when we were in the book of Thessalonians. And Matt got this great chart from Charlie Campbell, who's a teacher at the Bible College. He's going to come out here at the end of March and do an end times review of what's happening in the world. April. And anyway, he did this great simple chart, which will coincide with this teaching I did. It's a two-part teaching on end times. So they're available out front, and I'd encourage you to get those, because a lot of things are beginning to stir up in the Middle East again, and we just don't know when the Lord's going to get us out of here, right? And it seems the more people I talk to that understand the dynamics of what's happening in the world today, in tragedy, crisis, the wars and rumors of wars, the political unrest, it's just come quickly, Lord Jesus, amen, Maranatha. And that's what the early church was like, so take advantage of that teaching. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for all that's transpired. God, you've ministered to us through the worship of your throne of grace and through your servant, our brother Ron, Lord. And we just ask you would sustain him in his affliction and his illness. We're just so thankful that he was able to share his heart with your people today. And we just pray, Lord, shalom over his complete life, his family, Beverly, his children, Lord, his grandchildren. Just continually, Lord, grant him favor one day at a time, as we all need, Lord. As you teach us to number our days, that we would apply our hearts unto wisdom. So, Lord, now your word, our hearts, we're open, Lord. Teach us, feed us for your glory and your honor. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are in the book of 1 Timothy, and we're going to look at a few verses today, basically four. 12 through 16. I just want to give a brief overview, though, of what we had been teaching on the last several months, really. And this particular chapter is really powerful, because it's a word from the Apostle Paul to people like me who pastor churches. And Timothy, in this case, was a young pastor, about 32 years old. And he had to go to the church in Ephesus to sort of deal with a lot of issues that weren't going right. And you can imagine the apprehension, I'm sure, in his heart, being overwhelmed of the call of God that Paul was entrusting him to lead the church in Ephesus. The church had been established. There were already elders appointed in that church. And so here's young Timothy, 32, coming and talking to people like me, Walt and Lewis, who are all in our 60s, telling us like what we got to correct, what we got to change, what isn't right, what things need to be put in order. That would be sort of hard to take, wouldn't it? A young guy sort of telling an older guy who's done this a long time what he's doing correctly or perhaps incorrectly. But Timothy's name actually comes from the understanding of honoring God. And he'd been an understudy of the Apostle Paul for many years on a second and third missionary journey. So he wasn't a rookie, even though he was young. He went through all the pressures and all the crisis of doing the gospel and the ministry and learning how to be attacked and stoned and put in prison and all the difficult things that the Apostle Paul and Silas on those missionary journeys went through. So Timothy's an understudy. He's learning, he's growing, but he's by no means someone without the ability to influence people with the word of God. Paul thought so much about Timothy that he said there was no one like him in his ministry. There was no one that he had come across or worked with or served with that was like Timothy. He called him his son. And Timothy, just like the rest of us, I think any time we come before the sacred desk of God's word and we begin to talk, we know that unless God speaks, no one hears really any truth. And Timothy had an apprehension. He was timid. And at times he was insecure. And Paul spoke to the church in Corinth and said, put him at ease among you. And I appreciate you guys and just your gentleness and your reception and your desire to hear the word. I come here every Sunday and I feel at ease with you guys. And that's really important, because if we're timid and we're apprehensive, then God can't really bring forth what it is he wants to bring forth through the vessel. And so these pastoral epistles, they're critical for anybody that's in ministry, and they're critical for you guys to know too, so that you can hold our feet to the fire in regard to what it is we're supposed to be doing as pastors, okay? And we're not to be stand-up comedians, we're not entertainers, we're not cruise ship directors, we're men who have been called by God to teach the Word of God. And so this church in Ephesus, there's heresy, there's false teaching, we've covered these things in the last few weeks. There were leadership issues, and they needed to have sound doctrine. And the only way sound doctrine can be communicated to a body of believers in a church is by going through the Bible systematically, verse by verse, line upon line, precept upon precept. And Timothy was also responsible for identifying potential leaders and raising them up and training them and discipling them, because Paul couldn't be at one place all the time. He had to move on. When they established the early churches, it was many times the guy that seemed to have some idea of the Torah, the Old Testament. And so they'd say, hey, how about you be an elder? And the guy's like, what's that mean and what's that entail? And so then Paul would have to leave. Well, after all these churches are established, you can imagine the degree of chaos and confusion that might have existed in many of these churches until Paul was able to send those he sent out to teach the churches about sound doctrine. We look in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. Paul's encouraging Timothy, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. And so any guy that's called into a ministry, I would trust, at least I know in this ministry and other churches like ours, Calvary's around the world, we want to be good ministers to his sheep. We want to feed you guys the Word of God. We want to teach the Bible simply, so that everybody can receive it and understand it and be edified by it and be strengthened by it. And then he says in the 10th verse, for to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those who believe these things command and teach. Laboring, ministry is not an easy thing to do. And many of you, whether you're a pastor, serving in women's ministry, worship, sound, many of you have already understood that ministry entails hard work and consistency and faithfulness. And it also has to do with at times being tired and weary and discouraged. These things happen to pastors. And the word hard work means to agonize. Agonize over the things that God has called you to communicate. And many times the things you say aren't easily received by the hearers. Sometimes people have criticism about what it is you say or what it is you teach. But nonetheless, we're called by God to be faithful to Him. And He talked last week when we discussed about the importance of spiritual exercise. And that's the idea of the labor of and dying to self and being willing to be humbled by God, that you might be more an effective vessel of the Lord. And so he before we go into verse 12, he mentions this important thing about God sending Jesus, who is the Savior of all men, but only those who believe. Salvation is only effectual or only works for those who believe. People that hear about Jesus dying for them, if it never was personally received or accepted, it has no ability, right, other than at the judgment to make them realize that they're lost and without hope and without God in the world and will be cast into an eternity of hell. And so Paul exhorts Timothy again in verse 11, these things command and teach. And it isn't like this big authority, hey, you guys got to do this, and if you don't do this, you know, there's trouble, that kind of stuff. It's to proclaim. The better rendering of that word is to proclaim, herald this wonderful truth, and to teach these things to the body. Now, if you're in a church and the Bible isn't being taught, how are you going to know this stuff, right? How are you going to know what a church is supposed to be like and what it's supposed to communicate? And isn't it wonderful that God just didn't come and die for our sins and say, okay, guys, figure it out. But he gave specific books called the pastoral epistles so that the pastors would know what they're responsible to do. And you guys would have an expectation of the pastors that they would be doing what these books tell them that they're to do. And so he says in verse 12, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Let no one despise you. Have you ever despised someone? Have you ever had contempt for someone or regarded someone as being unworthy or looked down on? Ministry is an interesting calling, not a career, a calling. Because not only are you teaching the Word of God, but you're also being convicted to live the Word of God. You know, it isn't just, well, like I got a message today, you guys hear it, you know, hopefully, you know, you'll do it or whatever. I'm too busy this next week to think about these things. I got other things I got to do, whatever. But somehow the Spirit of God begins to impress upon the heart of the person, and in this case, Timothy, that you're going to have people that are going to despise you because you're a young guy. And they're going to think, you don't have any life experience. What is it that you're going to tell these older people about adversity and trials and struggles and heartache and tragedy? But the thing is that no matter how old you are, whether you're 3 years old or you're, you know, 93, in the human experience, you are going to be touched by all the things that everyone else is touched with. So you don't need to be 60 to have an understanding of how hard life can be. You can be 10, you can be 15, you can be 20, you can be 40. In the world you'll have tribulation, Jesus says, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And so don't, when you go into this church, Timothy, don't let people influence you in a way that's going to make you want to run and leave. Stand strong in the calling. And whenever you're dealing with adversaries or people that maybe don't like you, don't respect you, don't think you should be the pastor, whatever, don't worry about it. It's important how you come across to others whenever you're besmirched or whenever you're, you know, criticized or whatever. Be gracious and humble, not arrogant and critical. And it's real easy when people say things to you as a Christian or a follower of Christ or a pastor that you don't want to hear or you don't think is true, you can become very arrogant and proud and just blow people off, or you can begin to criticize that person back about things in their life. And that's not the purpose of being a follower and a servant of God. Jesus was despised and rejected of men, right? What's the Bible say he did? He opened not his mouth. He trusted himself to the one who called him to do what he was called to do. And quite frankly, he didn't care what people said or thought or felt. I mean, if he was doing ministry based upon the feedback of what a great teacher you are, you're this or you're that, that would have done nothing. He would have still had to go to the cross when everybody abandoned him and separated themselves from him. So Timothy is needing to understand what he's going to face. So the example to the believers is to speak and act in the way that would be reflective of Jesus Christ. He said, be an example to the believers in word. That means reflecting the truth of God's word in everything you do in your life and how you serve. In conduct, it means living the word, being spirit-led. And this is something not only for pastors, but really all of us as we follow Christ. Love. Love the people. Not just the people who are easy to love, but love the people who are difficult to love. That's a gift of God. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Do the ministry and be an example in spirit. In other words, the inner promptings of God in your life, you're zealous. You're on fire, as Ron said. You're focused, you're apprehended of God and His will, and nothing else matters in your life but Him and what He's called you to do. In faith, be an example to the believers in faith. Life doesn't turn out all the time like you hope it will or like you want it to. You have struggles, all of us do, at home and relationships and job and church. These things are normal. And he's teaching them how to walk through these things, trusting God, walking in him no matter what happens. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're struggling with, trust God, because God's always faithful. If you come to God and you humble yourself and you say, this is messed up, or I'm messed up, or this situation's messed up, don't think you got the wisdom without God to figure it out and work it out. Just be humble in faith, as Timothy represented to us, and Paul and all the other apostles, that God, I'm here, this is what your word tells me I'm to do and how I'm to respond. I can't do this unless you do this in me and help me and show me and work this out, change it. And God's a miracle working God, and he changes the most horrific situations of life by the walk of faith as we trust in him, right? Trusting in him. These are critical admonitions from Paul to Timothy to make sure that these things are in you, that you're an example to the people that you're serving. And I think when he first got there, people were apprehensive, like, I don't know about this guy. Let's give it some time. Let's see, you know, let's test him. Let's get in his face and tell him, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. You're too young, you know. And he could have said, well, I was with Paul for, you know, all these years, and I was his understudy, and he had me, you know, he didn't have to give his list of credentials, right? He was anointed by God and called to God. Whether people liked it or not, he was there because of God. In verse 13, it tells this to Timothy, do these things till I come. He says, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. A preacher, a church that's healthy, will read the Word of God, and we read the Word of God extensively here, publicly. We don't read one verse and then talk about Wall Street or Washington for the next 30, 40 minutes. We stay in the book. And so the history of the early church was that it was a church that read the Word publicly. Very, very important. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, right? And people here today, some maybe don't know Jesus, never got saved yet, never accepted him as their Lord and Savior. Just the mere fact that you're sitting here and God's word's being spoken, you can become born again just through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. I think of Nick, who's one of the leaders, him and his wife now, the kids ministry, and they run the preschool here. He's coming for a while. We're at the other location. I'll never forget this. I started getting to know him a little bit. Hey, how'd you get here? Oh, I'm friends of the Morrises. Yeah. I said, well, do you know the Lord? When did you come to know the Lord? He says, I just can't remember. One Sunday I was here and I believed. And I didn't have any altar call. I didn't say, is anybody out there lost? Raise your hand, whatever. The Holy Spirit fell upon him, convicted him of his sin, and he believed on Jesus Christ. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Right? God's faithful to his word. So you read the scriptures in public. You exhort, like I'm doing today, to encourage you to take these things seriously and know this book so that you can help us as pastors be better pastors. Right? I don't think there's a pastor on the face of the earth that doesn't realize they need to improve and get better at what it is God's called them to do. Right? And you learn by mistakes, you learn by failings, you learn by things that you think, boy, I can't believe I said that or did that, you know, a year ago. I would never even think that way again. God's working in our hearts as pastors as well. And to stay focused on doctrine, he says. This is focusing on the Word of God. And the responsibility of Timothy and any other pastor, myself today, is to make clear to you what the Scriptures are teaching. Not just so you understand it in your mind, as I explain this word today, but it will impact how you live. And you'll be able to apply it to your life in holy living, right? What good is this today if we don't take it with us and live it out, right? In a world that's desperate for truth and an example of who God is and what Jesus came to do. Emphasize Timothy, as Paul said, the Word of God. Sow the Word of God into the hearts of the people. Be absorbed in the Word, Timothy. Be saturated in the Word, Timothy. Be absorbed in the Word. And then he says in verse 14, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. It's easy to have a gift, and many of you have a gift. And Timothy had a gift. And why did Paul have to encourage him? Don't neglect the gift. Sometimes the easy way is don't tell anybody I teach the word. When you come to a new church, you're there for a while. Well, what's your background? Oh, nothing. I just work, you know. Meanwhile, maybe you're an astounding, being used mightily by God somewhere as a Bible teacher, but you just don't like the pain and the pushback and the difficulty of being accountable, and you say, I'm going to take a break, right? Don't neglect the gift that's in you. Some of you are gifted to worship God. I don't know who you are. Many of you perhaps are fighting that, and God wants to raise you up. Maybe you're called to work with kids, but you're neglecting that gifting that God's given you to teach kids. Maybe you're neglecting a call to start a new ministry. I don't know, but Paul said to Timothy, don't neglect the gift of the pastor teacher. You're given this gift to feed the sheep, instruct the mind, target the heart so they understand the principles of life, how to live a Christian life. Timothy received an enabling gift from God when the elders actually laid hands upon him. So somehow, supernaturally, the apostles, and they were gifted to do this, they would pray and God would impart gifting to people. I believe when we're saved in this day and age, because I don't believe there's any literal apostles, but when you're born again, there's a gift in all of us, one, maybe two, three. It'll be manifest as you step out and want to serve God. But he'll begin to show you what it is you're to do and how you're to serve. And in this case, it was very dramatic whenever the elders laid hands on him. As we get to 2 Timothy later in chapter 1, verse 6, he tells Timothy again, stir up the gift of God in you by the laying on of hands. He reminds him. And we need to be reminded as pastors that there was a point in time where God called us to himself. And it was ordained by him. And it was confirmed by those in the church that laid their hands upon us and encouraged us to go in the name of Jesus. So God is equipping us all today. He's equipping me as I teach, as I study the Word of God. Develop your gifting and use them in this church. When you come to church, just don't think about what it is I do and what it is you hear and what it is you learn. But I pray more importantly that you come and you think, God, now that I got this, what is it that you're compelling me and calling me to do to serve you? And if you don't want to, be honest with God. You know, I'm willing, but I really don't want to do anything. Give him a chance to soften your heart so that it becomes organic and all of a sudden you're put in positions where all of a sudden you naturally just end up doing something that you know you're supposed to do because that's your gift. Verse 15, he tells him the importance of meditating on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. And in my life, Monday through, people say, well, you're a pastor. A guy was doing some work around the house yesterday. What do you work, 2 days a week? No. I'm working 24/7. I'm available for whatever God wants to do in and through my life, whether it's with you guys or my family or my kids, my grandkids, my son-in-laws, my whole family, the nursing home that I do benevolent service in, spending time with people in the last days of their life as a volunteer. My personal time before the Lord in the morning is not TV or the phone or the radio. It's God, today is a new day. What is it you want to show me? What is it you want to teach me? What is it that I need to hear from you? And concentrated time waiting and praying and seeking his face. Then reading and preparing and thinking about Sunday and what it is God wants to do and how he wants to work. And God, deal with my heart if there's anything in there that isn't pure, that isn't trusting you, that is unbelieving in you, that is not dependent on you, that is despondent. Take it out so I can be used by you, Lord. The importance of this book being your daily bread. It tells us in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. that you may do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. That's the key to living, isn't it? This word imparted to our spirit that we might live out what it is that God has designed for us to become in the image and likeness of His Son. And as we do these things, I'm astounded at the growth I see in your lives because of the Word of God and your relationship with the Lord. I'm astounded to remember you when I first met you and then see what you've become in Jesus. It's the blessing of my heart. It's what compels me to do what I do. The marriages are changed. Kids are brought back home. Heartache is transformed. People becoming healed, people being called into the ministry, the stuff that happens on the outside of the building. I mean, Cindy and I, we're astounded. We've been married 48 years, and some of the years were insane. It's a miracle we're still together, you know. It's just the grace of God, you know. And I look at her, and I see her come back from this retreat, and just so covered with the presence of God, and excited to show me the scrapbook that they made, you know, the prayer journal, and the fellowship you guys had, and how they figured out who put glue on the toilet seat before they sat on it, you know. Some of those pranks go on in those retreats. You got to be careful, but. This is the joy, and I look at her and I say, honey, you are a woman of God. I look in her eyes, I love her more than ever, and I say, you are a woman of God. You put up with me for 48 years. And sometimes we're laying in bed and I'm just looking in her eyes and I'm thinking about who she is in Christ. Lord, help me to cherish her as you cherish your church. In the last verse, take heed yourself into the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Self-examination. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let the words of my mouth, O Lord, and the meditation of my heart, the things I think about, be acceptable to you, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I mean, it's one-on-one with Him, right? What's this in here look like to you, God? What needs to be changed? What needs to be repented of? What needs to be cleansed? What needs to be restored? God, create in me this heart that needs to be clean, right? And so Timothy needed to do that. Paul needed to do that. Any minister that's truly called by God has to sit before the Lord and say, what's in here, God? Am I a judge? Am I a critic? Am I vindictive? Am I unforgiving? Am I selfish? Am I lustful? Am I self-focused, self-centered? God, take that junk and wash it out. And this isn't a one-time process. This is every day in my own life. And being sensitive to what it is, as Timothy was told by Paul, to examine himself and take heed that are you in the place that you need to be in order to proclaim the oracles of God? Serious. The Bible says those who teach the word will face a stricter judgment. Continue in the things that Paul's teaching here. All these things we're reading, he's to continue in them, not to figure something out different or try, well, it doesn't seem like there's enough people coming, or, you know, the budget needs help, or, you know, there's not enough laughing in the church. Give me some jokes, Lord. You know, I mean, it's not about that. Continue in the truth of the Word of God. And the promise is when you do this, you're going to save yourself from a lot of judgment down the road in regard to not doing it effectively and accurately. You're not losing your salvation. You're saved, but you could be saved as though by fire, and who wants to find out what that means, right? By the skin of your teeth. But you're going to be known by God as someone He can say to one day, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. That's what I long to hear, and I'm sure that's what you guys all want to hear. All my life, Lord, some of it was a waste, some of it didn't make sense. But boy, finish well. Aren't you glad you get some time to know you still got some time? And you can let things get cleaned up and washed up and be prepared. And so the most important thing to the pastor, though, he's got to be in that place so God can communicate that stuff. But this is for you guys and everybody that hears in here this morning or on Grace FM through the many wonderful teachers we have. I am involved with seeing God save you guys because you're listening to Him and His Word. What a privilege that is. And what a humbling responsibility. This Word today, I trust for you as well as me, is impacting how I live every day. How I face whatever's in the future that is uncertain. Knowing that God personally in the light of. And I want to take the spiritual inventory of my own heart personally in the light of His Word. And not only did Paul proclaim this to Timothy, as we conclude and the worship team can come forward. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, he's told all those elders there that were assembled that would see his face no more. He told them, take heed therefore unto yourselves. So that's why when we take the communion, it tells us, we're to examine ourselves whether we're in the faith. Is there anything in our lives, personally speaking, that isn't right? And the Spirit of God's faithful to convict us and to show us and to correct us if we're willing to yield to Him. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. You are the potter. We are the clay. Mold us and shape us after your will. Why we are quiet and humbly still. So allow this last song to sort of scan your heart. Don't take anything from this building today that would be detrimental to your life moving forward. Realize that today and every day that you sit under the Word of God, no matter where it's being taught from or who's this teacher, God has designed His Word to edify you who are saved so you would have assurance of your salvation and that you would have a heart to see lost people you know saved. As a good minister, we preach the Word. As godly ministers, we practice the Word. As growing ministers, we progress in our understanding of the Word. That's not mine, that's Warren Wiersbe, but I thought that was great. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful this morning for the Word of God. We're so thankful that we can take the time and go through this slowly, understanding what Timothy was dealing with and how he was to conduct and lead in the ministry. He didn't make it up as he went along. He didn't call consultants in or church growth experts or whatever. He was given the pure milk of the Word and the doctrine from the apostles. That this is what you do, Timothy. You stay on track. You stay on course. May you help this church, Lord, be known for that, Father. May those who preach here and teach here, Lord, believe this deeply. That all you're asking us to do is to study, to show ourselves approved unto God. Workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. For the sake of your church, Lord Jesus, and for your glory, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, let's all stand together once more. Just continue to worship.